The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Job chapter 38. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. "Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven,' that is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss,' that is, to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Lord.
The sermon for today is based on the epistle reading from Romans and the gospel from Matthew. There are two kinds of righteousness, Paul tells us in the epistle. The righteousness that you do and the righteousness that God does. The righteousness of works and the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of the law and the righteousness of the gospel. The righteousness of the law works this way. Do it and you will live. It's that simple. Do it. Do the law, keep the commandments, and you will live. The righteousness of the gospel works this way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Law says, do and live. Gospel says, believe and live. And this is where Old Testament Israel went wrong. They had the Torah, you know, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses is called the Torah. Often gets translated into as law, but a better word is instruction or teaching is what the Torah is. But they focused on the commandments, the law part, and forgot the promises, the gospel. They concluded that the Torah was a Torah of works. The Pharisees, of whom Paul was a member, charted 613 mitzvot, do's and don'ts. Things to do and not to do in order to keep the Torah and do the righteousness that God required. This is how all religion approaches the righteousness of God. It's a natural and obvious way of looking at it. God is righteous, you're not, so you better get cracking. Do the works of righteousness and you will be righteous. Kind of like the Nike slogan, you know, just do it. Do the law and you will live by the law. The problem is what? You can't do the law. Oh, you can do some of the law outwardly, some of the time at least. But the law is an all or nothing proposition. Do it and you will live. Don't do it and you will die. The law doesn't say try hard and you will live. Make an effort in the right direction and you will live. The law isn't graded on a curve. It's do or die. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. Not just pretty good or basically a nice person. Be perfect. Be holy. The law is whole hog. It's all or nothing. One little slip, one stray bit of gossip, one sideways glance of lust, one little hiccup of covetousness, and you are guilty of the whole law. That sounds unfair, doesn't it? You should at least be able to get some kind of credit, right, for basically being a pretty good person, shouldn't you? Why would one minor infraction make you guilty of breaking the whole law entirely? Here's why. Sin isn't about sinning. Sin is why sinning happens in the first place. The sins that we commit in thought, word, and deed are symptoms of the condition we have called sin, the disease we all have. Sometimes the symptoms are raging, sometimes they're pretty mild. A little helpless infant is basically symptom-free for a short while. They still have the disease, but not for long. They don't, you know, before they show symptoms. We might go for a little while once in a while and begin to think, well, the disease is in remission. Man, we're on our way to being cured. And then it flares up again like a dormant virus, and we realize that we still have this condition called sin. We've had it since we were conceived. It's in our spiritual DNA as children of Adam. It's why Paul cried out back in Romans 7, remember, O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? There's no such thing as a partial disease, by the way. You know, even if you only have three itchy red bumps on your body, you still have a full-blown case of measles. You don't have half a case. You know, if you have a runny nose but not itchy or watery eyes and a scratchy throat, you don't have one-third of a cold. You have a cold. And even if the sum total of your sinning in any given day is just a discouraging word, a covetous thought, and a minor misdeed, even if you locked yourself up in a cell somewhere, where you couldn't hurt anyone else, you would still have the condition of sin, which coupled with the law brings death. You're not a little bit of a sinner. You're full-blown full of sin. Sinful, like me. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, the Bible says. That's why one sin makes you guilty of breaking the whole law. It's a symptom of a total and deep corruption of our humanity from head to toe, body and soul, everything. And that's why the righteousness of the law won't work for a sinner, because a sinner cannot do the righteousness of the law. And that's why our works cannot be held up before God. They are sinful, full of sin, even when they are outwardly good. This is why God has provided another kind of righteousness, a totally different way of righteousness, the righteousness of faith. This is not the righteousness you do, but the righteousness that Christ does for you and gives to you. This is not about you going up to heaven to bring Christ down, like Paul says, or going down to the dead to bring Christ up. Christ does it all. He comes down, he lives, he suffers, he dies, he rises, he ascends, all for you. His doing is finished. He said that. He said so. It is finished, right? And he gives you that finished work of righteousness as a free gift to you by faith in him. You stand before God covered with a righteousness that is not your own, but the righteousness that belongs to Christ and is yours by faith. As I've said before, it's like wearing a Jesus suit. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. It's the word of faith and not the word of works that Paul proclaimed. Words go in, words come out. It's the word of faith that goes out from our mouths, sent by God and into ears that changes minds and creates new hearts that believe that Jesus' death and resurrection are yours and that rattle out of you from the new heart of faith as the confession, Jesus is Lord. Words in, words out. The word of faith goes in first, confession of faith comes out. It's like breathing. You know, first you inhale and then you exhale. The inhaling, though, is more like God doing CPR on us, old school CPR. He breathes life into our lifeless, sin-dead clay with his living, breathing word, and we exhale the word of faith as confession of the name of Jesus. Faith comes from hearing, Paul says, and hearing through the word of Christ. All of you who believe here, believe as a result of the word of faith. The good news of Jesus' death and resurrection for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. And if you're unsure whether God intends to give you the gift of faith, consider this. He's arranged for you to hear it today, here and now. Jesus lived, suffered, died, and rose, and he is your righteousness. He came to seek and to save you. He was sent by the Father to preach good news. He sent his disciples to preach good news. He established his office of the ministry to preach good news. I stand here today before you as one sent by God. That's what the Bible says. I know it's hard for me to believe too. My feet may not be terribly beautiful, but they are the feet of one who has been sent by God and called and ordained to Christ's service to say on his behalf, your sins are forgiven, and you stand before God clothed in righteousness, innocence, and holiness of Christ your Savior. God has arranged it for me to preach and you to hear, and faith comes by hearing. So don't imagine for a second that God doesn't intend to save and forgive you. Your hearing this right now is hard evidence. And faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing because the word of faith is powerful. You know, it's not just a report to be believed, narrative to be discussed, like the latest offering of the Book of the Month Club or something like that, talking about Jesus so you can buy into the program. You know, we don't give the word nearly enough credit. The word is the powerful, faith-creating, faith-enlivening word that calls into being out of nothing, that says, be light, and light there is. In today's gospel, Jesus said the word, come to Peter. That's all it took, the word. And the disciple defies all laws of buoyancy and actually walks on top of the water just like Jesus did. And not just a step or two. Matthew says he walked on the water and came to Jesus.
And he did that not in the power of his will or his walk, but in the power of Jesus' word that said to Peter, come. That same powerful word of faith was spoken to you over the waters of your baptism. Jesus said to you, come to me and follow me. And while you didn't walk on the water, you died and rose in the water. You were born again from above in the water. You became a child of God in the water. You were clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness in that water. The word of faith came to your ears as it comes to you here today, this morning. You know, faith always has an object. You don't just have faith, like these songs, gotta have faith. You have faith in something. You trust something. Peter didn't walk on water solely by his faith. He walked on water by faith in the word of Jesus. It was the word of Jesus that kept him afloat. And only when he got distracted by the winds and the waves did he start to sink. Saving faith is faith in Jesus. Not that he exists or that he died and rose. That's all a given. Saving faith is faith that what Jesus did for all, he did for you. And that you stand before God, even though you are still very much 100% sinner, you stand before God justified, righteous for Jesus' sake. Now, most of the time, the Christian faith is not a romp on the surface of the water. In fact, it rarely, if ever, is. You know, Peter only did that once, and then only for a brief moment. As sinner saints, we are filled with doubt, anxiety, fear, anguish. The devil, the world, our flesh knock us around like the wind and the waves that threaten to sink Peter. But there is that moment when Peter is about to go under the water. I want you to freeze frame it in your mind if you can. He's standing next to Jesus, and he begins to doubt the word of Jesus and starts to go under. And he cries out to Jesus, Lord, save me. In that moment, there is both great doubt and great faith. They exist side by side. The only one who could save Peter was standing on the water next to him. And Jesus reaches out his hand. Notice that. Peter didn't reach out his hand. Jesus did. And he grabs him. And he brings him safely to the boat again. That's you and me. Doubtful yet believing. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And it's the Lord who grabs us by his word and won't let us go. He hauls us back to the safety of the boat, our ark on the flood, and there we are safe to worship Jesus as Lord and Son of God. The word of faith is near you. It is in your ears, in your heart, on your lips. God put it there. The word that says you are righteous and holy before God for Jesus' sake. Trust it. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.